This is the best day of its kind.
Amen.
Sun is out, and you turned on your radio. Mm-hmm. Wanted to do something a little different to start us off with, and that is just, we've been praying for people in general, but individuals. We need more of you, but take an extra measure for Kim, for Linda, for Donald, for Helen, for Lorraine, for Maggie, for Mike, for Mark, for Judy, Diane, Charles, Naomi, Sandy, Debbie, Tony, and our list goes on.
Every week.
Just first names. But the good Lord knows everybody's needs. And for that, I am very, very thankful.
Thank you, Cheryl. I hope this service comes across differently, because in its formulation, I think the Spirit of God was more profoundly guiding us in how it comes across and what is going to be said and sung. Let's see if you discern the Spirit as well. And you can give us feedback. You heard the prelude, Come Thou Almighty King, and we believe God is present as Jesus promised, where two or three gather in Christ's name. He is among us. So with that in mind, we have gathered on this Sunday in Pentecost. As the season of Pentecost is drawing near, we are approaching rapidly, well, Reformation Sunday, on the 25th. Then November starts All Saints Day, November 1st. Christ the King is the last Sunday of Pentecost, and then Advent comes in a new church year and the coming of Jesus Christ. That's a liturgical calendar. Let me also say something, because I've been doing a lot of phone call, more than usual for some reason this week, to our members, to friends, reading the Facebook postings by so many hundreds of people. I want to assure you, when people ask the question, does anybody listen to this radio broadcast, simulcast, or podcast? Let me tell you what I heard yesterday. They know that they have family in California listening to us. They know that they have family in Colorado listening to us. We know that people in Missouri, and it's not my son's family necessarily, I have no idea, but I know of relatives and members here in town listening to us. We have people in Pennsylvania, and it's not my family necessarily, but it's other relatives and members. We have people in Florida who listen to us. We have people around this nation, perhaps the globe, who listen to us. We take seriously our responsibility of leading a service in the history since 1938, now electrified by the internet to the world, Christ for the world. Our gathering hymn, I've got to tell you who our sponsor is, because this is always special. Hope, why didn't you say it? Our sponsor for this day is Robin Abbott, as she has dedicated funds of Doug Abbott's memorial funds for the ministry he loved here at Our Savior, and he benefited, and he knew families benefited of the radio broadcast. Dear Robin, and a member of Doug, thank you for that sponsorship. Next week, we have our community sponsor, On the 25th, Reformation, Cheryl and I will sponsor it. November 1st, Jane and Jim Borntrager have a double bonus, and you'll hear about it when it's completed, of a new grandchild, as well as their 35th wedding anniversary. So more sponsorships coming. What's that, Cheryl? What are you looking at? Okay, I get that look. Husbands understand that look. So our gathering hymn is God is Good All the Time by the Gaithers. Enjoy it. It's less than 4 minutes.
God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. You know he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over, no greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while, he's good all the time. God is good, yes he is, he's good all the time. God is good, you know he is, he's good all the time. You can search the whole world over.
About. At the very first sign of trouble, they're nowhere to be found. Well, Jesus stays when others go. He'll never leave your side. He's your friend in stormy weather, 'cause he's good all the time.
God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time.
The night when your body moans with pain, don't worry about that wayward child, 'cause he's heard you call his name. He'll put food in your kitchen when you don't have a dime. He's not good just now and then.
Selecting music for a worship service, a gathering hymn, an entrance hymn should be a praise song, not something in minor key and sounds like a funeral dirge, but something stimulating to bring the worshiping community to look up, looking up to God, for whose name we gather. So, with the invocation, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Confession of sin is appropriate, especially in this world, this time, and for our condition. So let us do so. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all creation. Amen. So let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another in appropriate silence to do the introspection confession requires. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways.
We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves.
We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble. Cast away our transgressions and turn us again to life in you
through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God hears the cries of all who call out in need, and through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. God's proclaimed, your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. So led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom, newness to do God's work in this world.
Amen.
Amen.
Hymn of praise this day, Twyla Paris, is recommended to us by Anne McCrae. I had no collection in my library. No, I'm building up Twyla's collection of Christian hymns. This one's a little bit longer, Hymn of Praise, but you'll love it. It's 5 minutes. God of all. Enjoy and sing along. Meditate on the words.
We
much. Emma Gray for suggesting Twilight Paris. What a blessing. Lutheran liturgy has a purpose and a formula, never identical. And usually in October, in my 27 years and the previous 23 years of my ministry, I use the month of October to explain the liturgy. So far, we've acknowledged God in whose name we gathered. We acknowledged who we were. We acknowledged who God is, worthy of our praise. Now it's time to sit at the feet of Jesus, as did the crowds when he fed them with food and word. When Mary and Martha were guests with the presence of the Master in their home. So settle down and listen and learn from God's word. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. And hope leads us.
Lord of the feast,
you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And God does that through God's word. First lesson comes from Isaiah, chapter 25. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, a well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken.
Amen.
It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I think you'll recognize this psalm. Mm-hmm. So open your ears. And then catch up with us when you recognize it. The psalm. The antiphon is, you prepare a table before me, and my cup is running over. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along the right pathways for your name's sake.
And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I shall fear no evil,
for you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you prepare a table before me, and my cup is running over.
I have a special selection I thought appropriate for a pandemic time. I use it annually at Good Friday. J. Beach Ensemble under Augsburg Publishing put this out, and you cannot find this on the internet. I think I have the universal copy left. It's called It's Friday. But Sunday's
it's
coming.
It's Friday.
Here we go.
But Sunday's coming.
Start snapping those fingers.
I'm going to see my Savior.
It's
Friday. But Sunday's coming. I'm going to see my Lord.
Five verses we kind of did.
It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. I'm going to see my Savior. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. I'm going to see my Lord. It's cold and dark and the wind is blowing. It's cutting through down to my bones. I can hear it howl, but still I'm a-knowing. I'm going to see my Lord, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. I'm going to see my Savior. It's Friday, but Sundays are coming. I'm going to see my Lord. Darkest hour when I feel forsaken. My friends have gone and left me all alone. Yet even though my lonely heart is a-breaking, I'm gonna see my Lord. It's Friday.
It's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Sunday's coming.
I'm gonna see my Savior.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. Sunday's coming.
I know
I'm gonna see my Lord. I'm gonna see my Lord.
And the weight of the world is the load I'm bearing. The burden bend on me, weight of the Lord.
Still I know my Lord,
that there's a load he's sharing. I'm gonna see my Lord. Well, they took him down and they thought they'd won.
No, thought
it was over when his blood stopped flowing.
Oh, no.
They thought that no one could move that stone.
Who's gonna move that stone?
But pretty soon they're gonna hear that trumpet blowing.
And then I'm gonna see my Lord. See my Lord.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
But Sunday's coming.
I'm gonna see my Savior.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
But Sunday's coming.
I'm gonna see my Lord.
Oh, the gates of hell, I can see them falling.
They're crumbling down.
Oh, hallelujah.
I hear Jesus calling. I see my Lord.
See my Savior.
It's Friday,
whoa,
but Sunday's coming.
And I know I'm gonna see my Lord. I'm gonna see my Lord.
I'm gonna see my Lord,
my Lord.
Now we all know you can't sleep through that. Second lesson from Philippians chapter 4. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Eudona, and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. Together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of God, word of life.
Word of life. Just love, just love those words of Paul about the peace of Christ. Gospel reading, not going to be used as a sermon, is from Matthew 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. God's invitation to the world. And again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat calves who have been slaughtered, and everything's ready. Come to this wedding banquet, share my joy. But they made light of it, and they went away indifferent, went to his farm, another to his business, while one seized the slaves, mistreated them, and even killed them. Now the king was enraged. He sent his troops. He destroyed those murderers. He burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. So go therefore in the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. That's people, strangers and stragglers like us. Those slaves went out into the streets, gathered all whom they had found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. So the king said to him, friend, how did you get in here without wearing a wedding garment? He was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, as I indicated at the beginning of the service, different things now start changing. You're going to see them. Usually for the last several years, I've dealt with all three lessons. not going to do that today. I'm going to focus on the second reading, Paul to the church at Philippi. On Wednesdays, we have a Bible study class, have for 16 weeks. Everybody is invited up to 15 into the building safely and securely, but regularly and consistently 10 show. We have opportunity to do what so many have desired and have missed in this period of 8 months, see in the fellowship, talking to one another, self-sharing, prayer time, and focusing on God's word in these most unusual times. If you're available, and if you desire fellowship, prayer, and scripture lessons, we limit space to 15, but call ahead the day before to let me know if you can join the remaining 5 slots. Here we go. The Isaiah text you heard Cheryl read, no sermon, but I gave it a sermon title. Okay, and you'll see it when you reread it. A better day is coming because of God's intervention and God's deliverance. It's not by human power or human action. God's intervention. First lesson. Let's deal with the gospel lesson. Important lesson, but not to be our sermon focus. So along with that comes the idea in the gospel that in this parable again of the Lord Jesus, I guess the bottom line would be, don't ignore your invitation. You may not get a second one, but don't count a third one. Many times people say, oh, only God saved me from death. God saved me from this accident. And then we walk away indifferent and ignore the invitation he has extended over and over again in our life. Do not take God, nor God's invitation in vain, because eventually the time runs out. So we come back to Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. It's a joyful letter. It talks about rejoicing. And so here we go. Pull out your scripture reading if you've got the order of service that we send out freely in charge electronically to everybody. If you need the hard kit adaption, we would put it in our mailbox. Tell me when and where. Leave a message on the church voicemail. Happy to do it for you. Here we go. Chapter 4, verse 1. He addresses in his letter this portion, my brothers and sisters. If you know Paul's writing, he always understands that the church, the believers, are in a relationship of family. It is not by birth, it is by faith. It is not by choice, it is by God's choice. And it accepts each other, fallible, sinner, saint, as we are. Because, here's the big because our brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are my brother. You are my sister, not by birth, but by Christ. And hopefully we would see in the church, as Paul pleads over and over again in all his letters, that each person in this body of Christ, by faith in Christ, is not to be seen as your opponent, not to be seen as a threat, not to be seen as evil, but a complex like ourselves of a sinner and a saint in need of God's mercy. We might look on each other different if we understood we are brothers and sisters to one another, not adversaries. He goes on to say, whom I love and I long for, you are my joy, my crown. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Concept is true, it was used at the revolution. We are stronger together than when we are divided or separated. Not to be, as Paul writes in Corinthians about the church, not to be in cliques, splinter groups, subgroups, complaining and bitching about some things and people, but working for the common good. Paul's letter to the Corinthians chides them we're not getting the concept and the behavior correct. I long for you. Stand firm. I urge Eudopia and I urge Cynthia to be of the same mind in the Lord. That implies to me, though it's not historically recorded, why he would single out two individuals to have the same mind. Might be like so many earthly churches, even in today's world, where there's arguments, disagreements. Paul, you too, shape up. Work for the unity, same mind that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our enemy is not one another. That's the greatest tool Satan can use against us. Our enemy is dealing with, as described in the New Testament by Paul, the God of this world. The enemy, Satan, the lion, ready to devour believers as well as unbelievers. Work to be of same mind. He goes on to say, yes, and I ask you, also my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me, mutual partners in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. The encouragement for the body of Christ to support the other workers, not just the ministers of the word, but those in the field lines and trenches of word and service, people within our congregations living their faith, not just in official committees and boards, but reaching out to the stranger in their daily existence and as a public expression to those in our community through service support agencies of the Christian faith. These special ministries are appointed by God's Holy Spirit. Next phrase, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So my question is, Paul, how does one muster the strength or the conviction to have faith to rejoice in all circumstances of my life? I understand when things are going well, my bank account is good, my kids are good, I'm healthy, everything is rosy, and listening to some of the TV programs, I got the largest RV, I can do anything I want, I am self-made. Oh, come on, get ready before the fall. Rejoice in all circumstances. They're not always going to be the same. There's a season for everything under heaven. Don't forget that. How does one do it? Let me suggest a simple method, maybe too simple for some of you. You got to see beyond the present for yet a new day to come. Now, I have trouble with that, as I'm sure you do too. That's the reason we included the hymn, It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's that realization, it's not today that I'm rejoicing, except that it's still a day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's not in so much, I like pain, I'm not a masochist. I don't like disappointment. I'm true to form, I'm human, flesh and blood. But I know there's a new day coming. Because I see that God really is working together in all things for him who believes. Paul, letter to the Romans. Do you believe that? That whatever circumstances, loss of job, struggles with health, waiting for COVID results, hang in there. God is with you, and God knows our struggles. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to everybody. The question I ask myself is, do people know you as a gentle person? Let me say it again in case you didn't hear it. Do people know you as a gentle person? Is this the first thing that comes to their tongue? Or would their adjectives or adverbs be something like argumentative? Always to pick a fight? Not listening to my opinion, but speaking over top of me, provoking conflict, challenging anything or anyone says. Where's the gentleness? That's the aspiration. Next portion, the Lord is near. We have signs in the last 20 years since 9/11. We are aware painfully, and for those who are discerning, the harbingers have been given by God as signs the United States is approachable, and the United States can tumble as did Israel. Never take so confidence that we are the chosen. Israel said that, and Israel got burned to the ground. We have signs. These end times, many are calling about it constantly. Those who are the Adventists, for those fundamentalists, and for people like us who believe, like Paul says, the end is closer now than when we first believed. For those who never got to the book of Revelation, I want you to know in the last chapter, the early church, in the midst of its persecutions, cries out one word in the Greek, Maranatha. Translated to our English, it means, even so, Lord, come quickly. The Lord is near now than when we first believed. So, next phrase, verse 6. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is the importance of our prayers. Gives us a chance, like picking up the phone and venting to a good friend, a relative, to share, to lessen our burdens by talking to somebody who really listens and just doesn't try to trump us with how bad their life is, because our life really didn't matter. This time, our God, who hears the prayers, is a being who cares, listens, takes action, and unlike our relatives and friends and strangers, he really makes the difference. He's the power source that can do something when all the rest of us say, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to help you. God does. Take it to the Lord in prayer, like we sing in Christian hymnody. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The true focus should be of our lives to set our eyes not just on present troubles, our fears, our anxieties, not even denying them as if something isn't real, but rather to turn to a higher power that is able to deliver us. Even our nation, with all of its transgressions, even this world that renounces and denounces our God from our current sin, waywardness, we need to turn back to God's way. Verse 8, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. How important the focus is to determine where we're going to go. Always pessimistic, always looking down, giving up hope, or focusing higher, above us. And then he goes on to say, in your life, think of, focus on what's honorable, what's just, what is pleasing to God, what's commendable, what is excellent, worthy of praise. Think on those things. I could elaborate all those, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit interpret that for you. I trust the Holy Spirit than just my words. Last phrase. Keep on doing the things you have learned, received, and heard from me, and the God of peace will be with you. The assurance, it's not a blind hope. It's a life experience that in our suffering and the death, even of the Apostle Paul, you, like Paul, will receive God's peace. The time we struggle to fall asleep, the times we wake up uncertain and anxious about our present world, that's the time to take it back to God and focus on Christ. And like Paul says, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. do this, and you have a formula for success. Amen. And now may the peace of God that does pass all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We sing our hymn of the day. The hymn fades out. We affirm our faith and express it in the midst of this world. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
God's only Son,
our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Amen. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious host, fill your church with the spirit of joyous hospitality. We pray for bishops, teachers, church leaders, in all children of God as they invite others to your table of boundless grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious host, as creation waits with eager longing for redemption, protect your creatures that are mistreated. Restore valleys, mountains, and pastures, and still and running waters. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious host, as you set a table in the presence of enemies, so bless the efforts of diplomats, international peace workers, and world leaders who navigate conflict. May they proceed with dialogue and understanding so that justice and peace prevails. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious host, let your gentleness
be known among those who are weary or ill. Strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to their needs, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious host, when we are quick to judge outward appearance, remind us how to clothe all in your mercy. We pray for ministries that provide needed clothing and other personal care assistance in this community. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
I indicated that the prayers would be a little bit different. I've been influenced by the news of this world, news of our nation, the struggle for power, political power, power over people, the failure to submit to authority because it wants to be the sole authority. So I put together, after listening and calls to people, these concerns that I heard being voiced collectively. So we continue. Gracious Lord, you know too well the needs of our world's people, those whose homes and earthly possessions have been and continue to be destroyed by multiple hurricanes, tornadoes, immense flooding, those whose day-to-day awakening is filled with intense negative news, confusion over medical and political issues and concerns which face us all living within this nation, for the millions and billions of people on this earth, Lord, who are powerless, voiceless, and not even understanding the complexity of issues and systems that are totally out of their control, such as diseases, hunger, senseless fighting and wars, and inability to get along with one another. For this week, calling us to seek the healing of our minds with National Mental Health Week, with good mental health in our communities and within our minds, coming spiritual for good spiritual health, coming to terms with our spiritual relationship with you, O Lord. Lord, we are able, but sometimes too stubborn, to bend our knees to you, to show mercy towards other upon your children. So empower us, we pray, that we will seek your will on all matters of national, local, and personal decisions with every day and in our national elections. For without you, Lord, we fail. Without your guidance, we are truly blind. Have mercy on us, O Lord, and help us to mend our ways. For the sake of the true Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Gracious host, as we remember those who have died and are gathered at the heavenly banquet, comfort us with your presence. Assure us of your peace at all times. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
So listen as we call upon you, O God. Enfold us in your loving arms and for all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray as our Lord has taught us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
This time we would receive our offering. I announce those who have supported our radio broadcast for the next 4 weeks. I add to the thanks for the support of Ministries and McCray, who supported our lawn service for this week and next week. Thank you very much, Ann McCray. We're going to juxtaposition the closing part of this service. We warned each other, the three of us, get ready for this. We're going to omit the offering hymn,
Okay.
We'll go to offering prayer, blessing, and then we're going to have the Rejoice Choir. People are loving their local group from Ross Bible Church. They love your music, ladies. And I know some of you listen to this broadcast.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink. Send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord.
Amen. And our blessing.
Mothering God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and lead you into the way of the truth and life. Amen. Amen.
Sending him, lift up the cross, listen to the words, you'll get it real quick, and thank you, Rejoice. Musical ensemble, however you title yourselves, you're just good singers. Thank you.
Cross, carry the light of the gospel. Always proclaim God's holy, unchangeable word. Weep for the lost, pray they will heed to the Spirit's call. Preach to all men until every ear has heard. Lift up the cross, share the good news of salvation. Multitudes long to know there is hope for their souls. Give of your best, fervently seeking the King. Over all else, know Christ and make him known. Lift up the cross high above the clouds of deception, doubt and confusion. Tell the world God so loved, he gave us his Son. He gave
having no need for apology, speak forth the truth.